lift off the top of Ayin Aleph. We had a machlok is a tenoim about the person divorced his wife with a very strange condition that he wants to get to take effect before he dies, obviously, because after he dies, it's going to be too late. On the other hand, he doesn't want to get divorced right now. He wants to remain married for a while. So he formulates the tenoim in such a way that the get should take effect close before his death. So it was a big machlok is a tenoim. First of all, whether that could even work, that works. How exactly, when exactly it works. So there are different opinions in the Tanoim. So there's some Tanoim who said that fundamentally the get takes effect now on condition. We just don't know if and when it's going to happen. And there are other Tanoim who say that the get is really pending. It doesn't take effect literally later on. So then you have different nuances as to, so what is the status of this woman right now? So if she goes in, she's bizarre with somebody else. So therefore what? Is she an Eishes Zinsa? Is she not an Eishes Zinsa? Is she a Sofik Eishes Zinsa? So we had across the spectrum every possibility. So Gemara is just trying to figure out what some of the differences between different opinions are. So right at the very top of Ayin Dalet and Aleph, the Gemara starts off with five lines from the top. It's the end of the line. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi. So what was the point of contention between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yochanan Ashem Tali Ikim Benayim. So be an afkamina, whether a person, somebody else is mezana with this woman, is he chayiv in Ashem Tali? So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi Ashem Tali, according to Rabbi Meir, you wouldn't be chayiv in Ashem Tali because you basically treat her as being divorced. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Ashem Tali, according to Rabbi Yossi, you treat her as a suffix being divorced. The general rule, if a person violates an Issa Kores, the suffix, Shel Gei, then one brings an Ashem Tali. So there are two different groups of Tanoim who seem to say the same thing. The one Tana says suffering, and the other one Tana says divorced and not divorced. It sounds like it's identical. This is no Ikebenayo to Rabbi Zeira. The Rabbi Zeira, Marav, Yirmi, and Mishmuel. That's a code phrase. Whenever Chazal used the words that the woman is divorced but not divorced, that means that it's a suffering. But it means that the husband is still obligated to support her. So if you use the phrase Bugureshes, that's a dead giveaway that not only is it a suffix, but it's going to cost you money, you're suffering as well. Whereas if you don't use that phrase, maybe you're not going to be chayav to support her. So the bottom line is that either you can be for sure divorced, you can be suffix divorced, even within suffix divorce, there are different nuances, what exactly that means. So now we get a new Mishnah, and the Mishnah begins with other kinds of tanoim, other kinds of conditional gifted. So if a person gives a get to his wife on the condition that she gives him 200 zuz. Now, again, that's not a very nice thing to do. We call it blackmail, but Lamaise did it. So now the question is, if he gave her the get under those conditions, so the get will be effective. The tite, provided that she goes through what she's supposed to be doing. So again, we're not advocating this kind of behavior, but if and when he makes such a condition, the get will be valid, albeit she has to fulfill the condition. What if he puts a little bit of pressure on her and says, I'm giving you this get on the condition that you give me 200 zuz within the next month, within the next 30 days? So then once again, that if she fulfills the condition to the T, that she does exactly what he said, then the get will be valid. And if not, then the get will not be valid. Amram Shimon Gamliel. Maisa B'Tzidon, once a story happened in the city of Tzidon, Tzidon's up on the, it's called Sidon today, up on the, today they call it the Lebanese coast. Maisa B'Tzidon, the Echad Sha'amal Ishto, that a man said to his wife, Hareza Gitech Abinash, it's the leasing. That he made a condition that she has to give him an Itzelis. Itzelis was a fancy kind of a coat. But of the Itzeliso, and the coat that he had when he was requesting back from her got lost. So now the question is, the get is not going to be valid because the condition cannot possibly be fulfilled. So the Amul Chacham, the question was brought to the Chacham, and the Chacham said, Titan lo is da meha, that she can reimburse it, but the value of the coat was, and that will be a proper fulfillment of the Tanai. Even though the literal condition was say, it was stated that she should give it back the code itself, and the code is not around, giving the value of the code is also considered to be an acceptable form of return of giving them the code, and therefore the condition would be valid. And I was going to explain that not everybody agrees to the statement of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara now just goes to question the beginnings of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Reuven gives a get to Rachel, And he formulates it with the following condition. And the Mishnah said it's good, vitite, that she has to give the money. So my vitite, what does that, what do those words mean, vitite? Ravuna amar vihitite. So Ravuna said, what it means is the get is valid right now. The get was given from March 7th. The get is chal today. If and when, it's pending, if and when, that she gives the money. If she gives the money 2 weeks from now, so it turns out retroactively she was divorced all along. Rav Yehuda amar lichishetite. Rav Yehuda says, no. The get will not take effect until the later point. So if and when she comes through with it tonight, then the get will take effect. So really what the Amoraim are referencing is that there are two different kinds of tenoim in halacha. There are sometimes a tenai can be formulated that the action is taking effect now, determined depending upon if and when something happens. If and when something occurs in the next 6 months, then we go back retroactively to as if it's valid right now. And there's another kind of a tenai in halacha, what's called not a tenai of akshav, but a tenai of im. It means if this happens, and from the point that it happens, then and only then will the chalos, will the change in legal status occur. So everybody agrees that the get is dependent, it's hinging upon the giving of the money. What's not clear is, for the Lashon Hamishnah, it's not clear, is it hinging retroactively on the giving of the money, or is it only hinging from then on upon the giving of the money? What's my benign? What's the difference? At the end of the day, the get's going to be chal if she gives the money, and the get's not going to be chal if she doesn't give the money. So what's the practical difference? What if in the interim the get gets ripped up or the get gets lost? So if the halacha is that the tanai, the condition, was a retroactive condition, so the moment of truth, the moment that the get is taking effect is now. So as long as the get is intact now, that's fine. The fact that the get gets ripped up and damaged from now, that's irrelevant. But if you hold that the get is pending in the sense that the shasa chalos, the moment of truth, the moment when the gerushin will take effect, is at the later point when she gives the money. If it's a different kind of a tonight, when she gives the money, so that at the moment of truth, the get has to be enough to be other, the get has to be around. And if the get is not around at the moment of truth, that's going to be a problem. That's what the Gemara uses the phrase kolso kinyano. When you try to set up a kinyan or a chalos, a kinyushin or a gerushin, it's going to take place in the future, you can do that. There's a concept of setting up a kinyan or chalos, a gerushin, a kinyushin to take effect, to take hold later, provided that the item that's being used to create that get is still intact at the point. So that's going to be a difference between Ravuna and Rav Yehuda.
Why doesn't the Quran say that the main difference is that he says that from now, when you give it to me, is that so then in a month when she gives it to her retroactively,
right.
They couldn't live together, he had to support her.
There are a bunch of Afkamidas, right. It's strange that the Gemara picks up on Dafka that one. You're right, there are a few Afkamidas. So the Gemara says that Rav Huna Amaviti, okay? So Rav Huna says that she just has to give the money just to fulfill the condition, and then the Chalos Gerushin takes hold retroactively. Eina Tzricha Medaget Sheni. Then she wouldn't require a second get. Rav Yehuda Amar Lichashatite. Rav Yehuda says that the get is only effective at the point that she gives the money. Tzricha better get shady. She would require a second get under these circumstances if the get was destroyed. So Utana Nabiya Bikidushin Kiagabna. So this machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, appears almost identical vis-a-vis a Mishnah in Masechus Kiddushin, talking about a second Kiddushin, the Snan, learned in the Mishnah. So he gives her, says that I'm being Mekadesh, he gives her a ring, but he says, wait a second, the condition is not taking effect yet. Hold for a moment. Here's the condition. It's a conditional condition. Here, he's the nice guy. He's trying to marry her, so he's giving her the money. So he says, the condition should take effect. Amanas, that I'm going to give you 200 zuz. So he made a condition. So just as we have a principle of a conditional get, you can have a parallel of a conditional condition. So, Harei Mekudeshes V'yitein. So, the Mishnah says explicitly, the condition is acceptable, is valid, but he has to give the money. The Itmar, and we learn concerning that Mishnah, my V'yitein. What do the words mean, V'yitein? Rav Huna Amar, who yitein? So, Rav Huna said that he has to give the money. But if and when he does give the money, then the condition will be binding retroactively. Rav Yehuda Amar Lichashiyitein. Rav Yehuda said similarly, just as he said by Gittin, that this is pending if and when the money is given. From that moment in time, she will become the Kudeshes. So the Gemara has the exact same achlokes. So my benayim, What's the difference between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda? So the difference, what if she accepted Kiddushin from somebody else in the interim? So if you hold that once he gives her the money, so retroactively she was his wife from the moment that he gave her the original ring, so then she's an Eishes Ish, and ain't Kiddushin Tovsin, Kiddushin don't take a hold on someone who was already married. But if you hold that, she's not married yet. That the Kiddushin is totally open. It's depending upon the ring, on the money being given, on the condition being fulfilled. And only at that moment onwards is she labeled as an Eishes Ish. If that's the case, then guess what? He just lost her because she just accepted Kiddushin from somebody else. So comes the Gemara and just elaborates upon that machlokes. So Rav Huna Amavu, Vahu Yitain, Rav Huna understood that he has to give the money. Tanabi Almu, it's a mere Tanai, Mekayim Tanai Vazu. So all he has to do is fulfill his denial. And he goes on, he moves on. I.e., the Kiddushin will take a hold. Even retroactively. Rav Yehuda says, no, not so simple. When he gives her the money, the Torah Zuz, at that point on, the Kiddushin will take effect. Whereas here, the Kiddushin did not go backwards to the original moment of when he gave her the ring. So the Gemara now questions, this machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda that appears in Maseches Gittin and that appears in Maseches Kedushin is identical. It's the exact same question. Namely, how do you understand these kinds of Torah? Everybody agrees there's a concept of a Tanai of Me'achsha. Everybody agrees there's a concept of a Tanai of Im. The question is whether these Lashonos, whether these words constitute a Me'achsha, a retroactive condition, or whether they constitute an Im, a future condition. But the machlokes is the same. So why do we need the machlokes to appear both in Gittin and Kiddushin? Can we figure out one from another? So no, not necessarily. I could have made a case. In the end, it's not true. I'm just going to go through different reasons why I would have potentially have a meaning for the friendship between the two. In the end, it's not true. In the end, the machlokes is identical. But the Gemara has a possibility. It's Richa. I do need both. If we're dealing with just Kiddushin, only over there did Rav Huna say Ru Yitain, that he wants the Kiddushin to be chal retroactively, mishum to the krova ka'asi. He's trying to marry her. He wants her to be as close to him as possible. So he would like the marriage to begin as soon as possible. Aval gabi geirushin to the choka ka'asi, whereas by geirushin, he's divorcing her. So it's very possible he's hesitating. It's heavy annoying. So even modu le Rav Yehuda, the namey in the case of a get. So maybe he's not running to divorce her this second. So maybe he has in mind that the get should take effect at the later point. If we would have only had the machlokas by Gerushin, so I would have thought that by Gerushin, Rav Huna said what he said, that that the get is only going to take effect at the later point. That when it comes to a get, so he's the one who's expecting something back from her. He's the one who made the condition to get something back from her. So he's not embarrassed to demand that back. But by Kiddushin, she's a little bit more tzaruah. She's a little bit more embarrassed to demand it. So then, Ema Modu Le Rav Yehuda. So maybe Rav Huna will agree to Rav Yehuda under those circumstances. Or maybe by Kiddushin, Hakam Rav Yehuda lechshiyitain mishum deksif lemitveh. Or the other way around, that Rav Huna would have only said what he said by Kiddushin, not by Gerushin. V'yesh b'nei gabi Gerushin, Hakam Rav Yehuda lechshiyitain mishum lechokasi. The exact opposite as far as what we said before, that by Gerushin. So maybe you could argue he's willing to delay it because he's having an oil before he divorces her. But by Kiddushin, whereas by Kiddushin, when he's trying to get her closer, so then he would want to do it right away. Tzricha. The bottom line is, whereas all the Sfars are wrong, all the Havamim, all the Chimukim are wrong, the Shad is the exact same Shad. Doesn't matter whether he's getting the money, she's getting the money, he's trying to divorce her, trying to marry her. It's a running machlokes. What is the din when you word something in this way? Is this considered to be a Kiddushin or a Gerushin that's effective here and now, tending to tonight, or is it a Kiddushin or Gerushin that's going to take effect at a later point? So now the Gemara tries to bring rayas from Tanoim, from Raisas, as to what the din is. Amazing. Harezeh Gitech Amenas Shetiti Li Masayim Zuz. So a person gives a get to his wife, and he uses the phrase Amenas, that you should give me 200 Zuz. Af Apish Nikra Get Oshineva Nagureshes. That even though the get gets ripped up, or even though the get gets lost, so the get is going to take effect. So this seems to be a clear-cut proof that the get is valid retroactively. So but now the Bryce just continues, this qualifies. However, as a policy, she should not get remarried until the condition is met. So one could have argued, strictly speaking, if he gives her a get, it's valid March 7th. I'm going to ask if she gives him the money. So she can get married March 7th. Then go marry somebody else. What's going to go wrong? Then what's going to go wrong? What's going to go wrong is that who says she's going to fulfill the condition? Maybe she won't be able to find the money. And then it'll turn out that the condition wasn't fulfilled. Turned out the get never really took effect. Turns out she's an Eishes Ish. It's being mezonim with somebody else. So therefore the Braisa says, even though if you had Ruach HaKodesh, you knew for a fact that the get will be, that the Tanai will be fulfilled, then there's nothing really wrong with her being married to somebody else, even though the Tanai hasn't yet been fulfilled. Since you don't know that, then you have to hold off. But the more important part in terms of Aris Sugya is that you see clearly that the Braisa is saying, even though the get gets ripped in the interim, the get is still valid because these conditions are retroactive conditions. So the old Tanya, and we learned another Braisa, Hareze Gitech Amanasha Titnili Masayim Zuz. He makes the condition that the get should be valid on the condition that you give me 200 zuz, umes, and now he dies. Now, we would like very much for this get to be valid, because if, let's say, if he doesn't have any children, there's a brother around, otherwise we're going to have an even more chalitza issue. So we're trying to figure out how in the world can we fulfill this this condition if he's no longer alive. So the Braisa says, not so simple. So the Braisa says, nosta in zgugli yavam. That if she gave the money beforehand, so then the get was effective, the condition was fulfilled, so then it turns out she was divorced at the time that he died, so then it is Gugli Yavam. Then there's no requirement of Zika, there's no Yivim, there's no Chalitza. But if she didn't give the money yet, so then it's tougher. He's dead already. How in the world is she going to give the money? So it's going to turn out the condition was never fulfilled, the get was never valid, and now she was an Eishes Ish when he died. And now she has to have Yibur Chalitza. So Shimon Gamliel, says, no, we have an Eitzifar. We have a way to fulfill the condition even after he died. Shimon Gamliel says that giving to one of his relatives, somebody with Yorish, one of his heirs, is tantamount to giving to him as well. So we have a technical machlekes at the Anoim within the understanding, what's the nuance of this condition? The condition must be fulfilled in order for the get to be valid. So the Tanakhama says when he's dead, there's no way to fulfill the condition. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, we can still fulfill the condition. He'll give it to his son, give it to his son. That would be that the Yibur Chalitza. Give it to the father, give it to the brother, give it to somebody else. That would be acceptable. So Ad kan l'pligi el demar sava libo liyorshi. Umar sava libo fil liyorshi. That the whole machlekes at Tanoim is in a very, very technical wording. When he says, give me the money, does he mean the check's written out to him? Or does it mean there's a stake that's also considered to be the equivalent of giving it to him? But everybody agrees that in theory, if giving to his father, his brother, would be a valid fulfillment of the Tanai, everybody agrees that the Tanai is valid, even though the Tanai is not being fulfilled until after he's dead. Now, we all know that Ein Get Li'achamisa. So if Rabbi Yehuda is right, that whenever you give a get on a Tanai, so it's assumed that the get is not taking effect to the later point. The later point is too late. The later point is already dead. So for the fact that all the Tanoim agree in theory, whether it's practical to fulfill the Tanai or not is a question. But everybody agrees theoretically that if you could fulfill the Tanai now, the get would be valid retroactively. If the get would be valid retroactively, so that's a proof positive that Rav Huna is right. That to get all these Tanoim are retroactive to Tanoim. So to you have to do Rabbi Yehuda. So the Masechta Amalek Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, this doesn't reject my view, because says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to concede that all Tanoim would disagree with me. I never meant to say that everybody subscribes to my view. How many Rebbe? That braisa follows the view of Rabbi Danossi. We know for a fact that Rabbi Danossi said that when you make a tanaim amanas, it's ke'omer me'achsha. It's as if it's valid retroactively. The omer of Huna Rebbe, kala omer amanas ke'omer me'achsha dami. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora Rabbi Yehuda, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda Danossi, of course, disagrees with me. Everybody, that's common knowledge, that disagrees with me. But upligira barnale. But it's also common knowledge, says Rabbi Yehuda, that nobody else agreed to Rebbe, but the Amrik Rabbanon, and I am following the view of the Rabbanon. So now it turns out that this machlokes, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, they were first, they were really second generation Amorim. They were Tamidim of Rav. Rav Yehuda was also Talmud of Shmuel, but he was also Talmud of Rav. Huna was a Talmud Muvuk of Rav. Now you have second generation Amorim who are really restating the same machlokes from the days of the Tanoim. Rav, their Rebbe, was the Talmud of Rabbi Danossi. So two generations before, 60 years before, the Tanoim were already fighting this out. How do you understand the nuance of these Tanoim? Is this Tanai that appears in our Mishnah? Tanai of Me'achshav? Or is this a Tanai of Holy Achazman? So the Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda was not a new Machlokes, it was the old Machlokes, whether we should follow the view of Rebbe or the view of the Rabbanan. So the Amar Rabbi Zeira now tells us, Ki Avinan beBavel, Amrinan, Rabbi Zeira grew up in Bavel, he learned originally in Bavel, and then later years he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So here he makes reference to when he was younger, learning in Bavel, Ki Avinan beBavel, Amrinan used to say, Had Amar Avuna Rebbe, Kala Eimer Amanas Yom Be'achshav Dami, Pligi Rabbanan Alei. That we used to say in Bavel, that even though Rebbe Shita was documented, he's the one who said the Achshav, everybody else disagreed. All the Rabbanan disagreed. That was like common knowledge in Bavel. But Kisalike, when I arrived, when I came up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachtel Rabbi Asi, I met Rabbi Asi, to Yosef Ekon Bishved Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Asi was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan. So again, this is approximately the same generation, because Rav and Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, Tamid of Rabbi Danossi. So now you have Rav's Tamidim in Bavel, and Rabbi Yochanan's Tamidim in Eretz Yisrael, now fighting about what did two generations ago say? What did Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Danossi in the Chavim hold? So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Hakol motim ba'omam manas kol be'achshav dami." Nobody argued with Rabbi. Whereas in Bavel they were reporting that the other Tanaim disagreed with Rabbi, and Eretz Yisrael they were saying it's not true that the Machlekes Rabbi and the Rabban was not about that point. The Machlekes Rabbi and the Rabban was about a different point entirely. Lo nechagu elav b'mahayam liachavisa. There was another Machlekes Rabbi and the Rabban floating around that was similar and got us a little bit confused. The Machlekes was, if a person gives a get and he makes a dual Tanai, it's almost contradictory. He gives the get and says, I'm giving the get, mehayom uliachavisa. That the get should take effect now, and it should take effect after he dies. That's a little bit of a contradiction. Right now he's alive. So when does he want the get to be chal? So there are two fundamentally different ways of understanding that phrase, mehayom uliachavisa. You can understand that the person is backpedaling, that maybe he's changing his mind, that when he said the Achamisa, he said, I'm giving it to you now, but I don't really want it to take hold. I don't want it to take effect till later. That would, of course, be a red flag. That would be an ingat the Achamisa. Or maybe when he says, Bayom Achamisa, he doesn't mean to be chayzer for what he said. Maybe he just simply means to make it tonight, that he wants the get to be effective now, if and when he dies. So when he dies, then we'll go back retroactively and say the get's going to be chal. So that was a potential machlokes atanoim. So comes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Zeira, and say, Rabbi and the Rabbanan were arguing about this. You have the wrong machlokes. They were talking about the following question. At the top of Rabbi Beis Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa that the Hayom Yachamisa get the get. So Dibre Chachamim, that the Chachamim who argued with Rabbi said, when a guy gives a get and uses a seemingly contradictory condition, so we throw our hands up and we say, it's a get but not a get. Namely, we don't know what to do with it. That's a suffix. We're not sure that the person means to back out from his original statement, which would mean it's a get, which is no good. Or did the person just mean to simply qualify it with a tenai, which would be the get is good. So the Chacham say, we're not sure what to do with this. The Becham, Rebbe, because they get. Rebbe said, no, this is okay. This case would be a valid get. So now we know this is the Machlekes Rebbe and the Chachamim. The question is, that was the also a machlekes about our Mishnah. The two different cases. The one case is when the guy says two contradictory things, and the other case, the Mishnah, is when the guy gives just one strange word, when it just says amanas, so what does that mean? So Ula Rav Yehuda the Amar the Amanas Pligi, according to Rav Yehuda Narsugya, who claims that there was a double machlokes, that the Tanoim were arguing in both cases, so why does the Braisa present the machlokes only in this case? The only place documented that we have of this machlokes, Rabbi Dechachamim, is in the case of Yom Liachamisa. So why did the Tanoim argue about that case? So why don't we quote the machlokes by Almanaz as well? So the Acha Keche de Rebbe, the point of quoting the machlokes in the case by Yom Liachamisa is an unbelievable chiddush. It's telling you that not only did Rebbe say the get is good in a regular Almanaz, he said it's good even in this case, even when the guy said the Achamisa. That's an unbelievable chiddush. The Braisa wanted to highlight that Rebbe held so naked, he was such a makeup of Echos Tanoim, that even this kind of a case would be good. So he asked the Gemara, V'lifligay, the Almanas, Nechakechen, the Rabbanu. The Gemara could have also, the Braisa could have also highlighted that they're arguing about a case of Almanas, which would have highlighted just how machmir the Rabbanu are, that the Rabbanu, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Rabbanu are so machmir, it gets not valid till later. Kach that they're on the flight. It's a style in Tanoim when you want to present the machlokes, and there's a multiple machlokes. So you can present either case A or case B. So we're trying to present the case that has the biggest clue to it. Because kach that teira are different. The Rashi explains in different places that to say something is also, you don't need so much. It's big chacham to ask something. To be matter something, that takes a lot more guts, a lot more knowledge in order to be matter something. So if the Braisa has a chiddush to tell you kula, we'd rather tell you kula rather than tell you chumra. So Amunash Nuli Mikarash Lashim Yom. So now the Gemara goes back to some of the intricacies of the Tanoim in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if a person says, I'm giving you the get, Amunash, that you give me the money within 30 days. So the Mishnah says, what seems to be pretty straightforward, she has to do it within 30 days. It says, Lepshitim. That was the condition. So like, why would you think that she could give it in 6 months from now? If he said 30 days. So the Gemara said, no, now the Tema, I would have mistakenly thought, Kepeda lav kepeda. He didn't really mean he needs it within 30 days. But his goal was just to get it to rush a little bit. We do that very often now. I don't really need this in the next 10 minutes to be done. But I know that if I tell you, if I don't give you a dime, you're dilly-dally, you're not going to do it. So one could have conceived that when he made that stipulation of 30 days, he didn't really, in his heart and soul, didn't really mean it. And therefore, the get would be valid even if she gave it on the 31st day. But what says Kamash Balan, he means it. He wants the money, he's got to pay his rent, he needs the money in the next 30 days. He's not just getting it on day 37. So therefore, if and when the condition was fulfilled, so be it, then the get is going to be chal. So again, the Mishnah gave us all kind of intricate details as to what constitutes the fulfillment of the condition. So then the Mishnah quoted a machlekes ha-teroim whether the condition literally wasn't fulfilled. He made a condition to get a coat, and Lamai said she couldn't find the coat. The coat got lost, but she gave him the value of the coat. So it was that nuance also considered to be a fulfillment of the condition. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he said that yes, and perhaps others disagreed. So now the Gemara is going to begin to tackle that machlokes as to just how literal we take the person's condition. So again, everybody agrees to the basic fundamental yisod the sug is, his condition has to be met, whether he's a nice guy, not a nice guy, black man, not a... We'll give him musa later. We'll deal with him later. But tachlis, the condition has to be met in order to get to bichal. Sometimes it's not 100% clear from nuance whether any given action is the fulfillment of the condition or not. So next year, we'll try to figure out this machlokes between Gamliel and the Rabbanan about giving the money rather than the action.
Okay, thank you. Ari's away.